I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
On time. But let me go ahead and tell you.
Shut your bitch ass up.
Look how far we've come. You're still here. This is us. These are my confessions. Still going strong. Yeah, man. Let it go.
I lost a friend, like keys in a sofa, like a wallet in the backseat, like ice in the summer heat. I lost a friend, like sleep on a red eye, like money on a bad bed, like time worrying about every bad thing that hasn't happened yet. I know I'll be alright, but I'm not tonight. I'll be lying awake, counting all the mistakes I've made, replaying fights. I know I'll be alright, but I'm not tonight. I lost a friend, I lost a friend, I lost my mind. And nobody believes me, saying no that he don't need me. Cause he made a little too much money to be 20 and sad. I'll be fine without him, but all I do is write about him. How the hell did I lose a friend I never had? Never had. I'm on the mend, like I'm wearing a neck brace, like I'm sleeping in my own place, like I'm pulling all the stitches out of my own face. I'm on the mend, like I'm icing a new sprain, like I'm walking on a new cane, like it's been a couple days since I slipped and said something sorta like your name. I know I'll be alright, but I'm not tonight. I'll be lying awake, counting all the mistakes I've made, replaying fights. I know I'll be alright, but I'm not tonight. I'm on the mend, but I lost a friend, I lost my mind. And nobody believes me, say I know that he don't need me. Cause he made a little too much money to be 20 and sad. And I'll be fine without him, but all I do is write about him. How the hell did I lose a friend I never had? I'd apologize if I thought it might make a difference or make you listen. I'd apologize if it was black and white, but life is different. Just try to listen to me now. I know I'll be alright, but I'm not tonight. I lost a friend, I lost a friend, I lost my mind. And nobody believes me, say I know that he don't need me. Cause he made a little too much money to be 20 and sad. And I'll be fine without him, but all I do is write about him. How the hell did I lose a friend I never had? never had.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 405 of the Hoops Podcast, live in living color, here on this Thursday, March 21st, 2024. It's yours truly, the nefarious brother Adam, a.k.a. Josh Lopez, ready to rock and roll here for the Break Free Room in Chicago, Illinois. I want to say first and foremost, thanks to each and every single one of you who take the time to check out our live stream recordings of this podcast or any of the previous 404 episodes of the Hoops Podcast. It means a lot to me, and I appreciate those who are new listeners or watchers, especially those who are watching on YouTube. Please do us a favor. Press the like button. Subscribe to our channel as we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers. And helps expand the reach of the show. And don't forget to press the post notification bell so you can get all notified whenever we record an interview. Maybe I share a guitar cover. Maybe some new content on the YouTube channel. Your support really means a lot to us. Especially, don't forget to check out the audio versions. If you don't want to see this hideous mug, you could go on your way and check out the audio version of the Hoots Podcast, which comes to you free of charge anywhere you need a podcast from, like Spotify, what? Apple Podcasts, what? iHeartRadio, what? Anywhere, what? Just type in the Hoots Podcast. It comes to you free of charge. I'm not charging you anything to watch or listen to this program. And I thank you all for the support. And don't forget, we're on the road to 500 episodes, and that'll be our cutoff stage with this podcast. So I'm just going to try to enjoy this final leg of this journey with you guys as these weeks go by. And we're just about 15 days away. No, my bad, 16 days away from WrestleMania, and more stuff to discuss this week in WWE. Talk a little bit about what happened with AEW this week in Toronto, Canada. And then also, we'll wrap it up with your questions in the back porch Q&A session. And for those who are watching live, please do us a favor. If you want to interact with us, then I can answer your questions straight up as we go on with the show here. I'm open to doing that as well. But first and foremost, before we get to our segments and stuff like that, usually I do a little bit of a monologue just like any other podcast and let you know what's going on with me and some observations that are just thoughts in my head as I speak to y'all right now at this present moment. First and foremost, I would like to tell everybody that I am very excited to cover WrestleMania. It's gonna be a nice weekend for me from a ROI point of view. But it's not all about money. I'm gonna be very busy that weekend. I think I'm doing like 7 or 8 shows that weekend, and it's gonna be a fun time. You know, am I bummed out that I won't be in Philadelphia for this WrestleMania and not be in the press box? Yeah, and I kind of expanded on that last week. But all in all, this WrestleMania, man, it's the best time of the year. You know, that expression goes, big-time players make big-time plays. And I'm looking at the track record of like how I keep track of my transcripts. And those are getting green SEO scores. I'm a bit of a hot streak right now. If you usually type in like an article that I do, like say Raw results from March 18th, which was Monday, you probably see my Raw article is number one article of the week for Raw. You know, it's been some nice small victories here and there on that end. And I'm still making sure that I'm not leaving any stone unturned when I make these transcripts. And by the way, you can find those transcripts in the results section at wrestlingheadlines.com. So if you ever want to see my play-by-play articles, check those out at wrestlingheadlines.com. And that's a great source of point of reference for anybody that needs content clues with storylines and maybe don't have the time to watch all of the shows. That's why I format the transcripts the way that I do. And I hope you guys appreciate what I put into those transcripts, because I put a lot of thought and effort into those pieces. So I appreciate those who take a time out to check out those articles as well. But let me start off with this. I don't necessarily really have anything to rant about. I'm not in a particularly bad mood or anything like that. And there's nothing really anything that's like setting me off or I just wanted to like just snap anybody or go off on a topic. Right now for me, I have noticed some things here and there on Twitter, especially where it's like, it's another day we need something new to worry about or have the entire community whine and debate each other with. And it's like a, it never ends. It's Twitter. It's always something every day, regardless of the promotion, there's always something to bitch about, right? So this week, there's this article that comes out of from SC Scoops where supposedly those in the locker room are upset with the fact that The Rock could, you know, cut these Instagram promos and swear and stuff like that on his Instagram page and his social media accounts and, you know, get away with some choice dialogue on SmackDown on Fox. But the wrestlers on the current roster are kind of handcuffed to a certain extent. We run into this situation a lot, especially for those who do wrestling podcasting. And I feel like I have to remind people at the end of the day that this is also a business and not a charity case. This is not about what's fair and what's not fair. That's why I kind of like chuckle when I see people like saying, oh, this person deserves this, this person deserves that. We're talking about the wrestling business. Nobody deserves anything. You earn what comes to you, and you take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to you. This is not a, oh, woe is me. I deserve this. I deserve that. If you, there's a place for that. There's a place that enables that type of mindset. It's called AEW. You can run right to the WWE Rehab Center, and they'll heal your ego as fast as possible, and it'll help you out and get you straight and narrow and all that. And it goes back to this, oh, should we have the Attitude Era come back? Should the programming go back to being TV-14? TV-14 versus PG wrestling. Oh, it's not fair for The Rock to do this stuff, but other people can't call somebody a bitch or an asshole, or a scumbag, or a cunt, or et cetera, excuse my language here. But as I'm watching what's going on here with these shows and everything going on with The Rock, is it making money? Yes. What's the objective in professional wrestling? Putting ass in seats and making money. So that's two already. And three, is it entertaining? Yes. So, yeah, The Rock is a director on the TKO board. So, oh, it's okay for him to thumb his nose at everybody else and play the political part, political card and do whatever he wants. The guy is one of the most entertaining performers in the history of professional wrestling, and at a certain time he was one of the most popular actors in the world. I'm not saying right now that Dwayne Johnson is the biggest star in the world today. I don't know whether that is true. I don't feel that's the case, but you have somebody who's a GOAT, a guy who is one of the best people, you know, cutting promos of all time. And I don't think he needs cursing as a crutch to get himself over, but he's doing it. He's taking time out of his schedule with all these other projects that he's got going on. The UFO is about to start soon. Zoa Energy, this new like face, I don't know what you call it, skincare product that he's pumping out on Instagram these past couple days. I don't even know how to pronounce it. But given everything The Rock is going on and his own film production company, And he's got a couple movies lined up that he has to film this year. He's taking time out of his schedule, let alone the appearances that he's making on TV, in person, in these arenas. He's going out of his way to get you more invested into the program, not only for its tag team match, but also the following night between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. So, yeah, he's throwing a couple of curse words here and there and calling Cody Rhodes' dog Pharaoh a shithead. And, you know, calling Seth Rollins a punk bitch and stuff like that. I mean, it's 2024. Are we really going to go and gripe about the merits of what should and should not be said on television anymore? More and more people are leaning towards streaming. And must I forget the fact that coming up in 2025, Raw is moving to Netflix. So for everybody in the locker room that's whining about, this is the sucky thing about topics like this. I'm not even going to have to address the locker room because, one, I don't know whether or not this report is factual or not. And two, we're in the road to WrestleMania. Does any of this shit really matter, if we're being honest? Oh, The Rock can do this, but I can't. Oh, we're being handcuffed, but he can say whatever he wants. He's delivering money. He's getting people interested in the product, and he's delivering business. What am I missing here? Let's say that report is true. What does that say about the roster that the only way they feel that they can get over to another level is by cursing or saying things that may come up more edginess, coming off of more of an edge? Look, man, if TV-14 is the only way to get yourself over as a character or have a worthwhile wrestling television show, that says more about your insecurities than what it really is. Because guess what? We have a TV-14 wrestling show that's produced on Turner Broadcasting every single week. And guess what? These Nimrods can't get over 800,000 viewers a week if their life depended on it. So, okay, here and there, The Rock is going to throw a couple curse words, call a city filled with crackheads when he's using factual information, and et cetera, et cetera. And it's still delivering business. This is a business. And like I said earlier, this is not a charity case. So, okay, here we go. Everybody got their wish. Oh, yes, we're going to fight. We're going to get Roman and Cody 101. We're not going to have a triple threat. We're not going to get Rock and Roman. We united each other. We've changed once again another main event of WrestleMania because if I don't get the way I want, I'm going to go on Twitter and throw a fucking hissy fit. And then we need to find more reasons to shit on the guy and find more reasons to come up with excuses. And like, I don't understand how it's done from the guy that fans for years and years and years would go out of the way, man, we need The Rock back more often. Oh, man, I wish The Rock embraced wrestling more. Oh, we need The Rock here. We need The Rock for this WrestleMania. We need it for SummerSlam. Man, would it be cool if The Rock had some say when it comes to the future of the business and stuff like that? Here he is now. And it's not enough. We got the Cody Crybabies and Dave LaGreca on SiriusXM. The next thing is, oh, The Rock repeats himself too much. Oh, I guess we never heard a Rock promo in the 20, almost 30 years that this character has been a thing. And then now we got this thing where he's cursing too much. And, he's doing things. He can get away with whatever he wants, his double standards. And, oh, The Rock is treated like a god, but everybody's handcuffed and treated like they're in prison, that they can't speak up for themselves. I've heard more edgy promos from countless superstars on this roster even before The Rock showed up at day one. So if I'm missing something, and the bigger issue now is that we need everybody on the roster to call somebody an asshole, a scumbag, or like Stone Cold Steve Austin called Kevin Owens at WrestleMania a couple years ago a sack of shit. Like, I could litter off curse words with the best of them, but does that make my point more interesting or more valid because I'm using those curse words? We're telling stories. And that this is the strange hysteria that everybody romanticizes about the Attitude Era. Oh my God, we had edgy programming. About a third of the feuds made no sense. You got Beaver Cleaver, Mark Henry giving birth to a fuck, Mark Henry getting Mae Young pregnant, Choppy Choppy Pee Pee, Al Snow in the Kennel from Hell, and oh yeah, guess what? We got blood, we got cursing, we got this and that. You got WWE right now who's still labeled PG and drawing more viewers, almost selling as much merchandise, and outdrawing Gates from the Attitude Era right now for these live events. But it's not enough. We need another conspiracy theory. And I know this is a report, so I'm kind of taking this with a grain of salt. But if we're going to have a standards and practices argument, the point I'm going to raise back to you is watch AEW, because guess what, folks? All of you who have been wanting to have edgier programming, you got it. You got it on TBS. You got a program. You got a promotion who's stagnated with 800,000 viewers for almost 2 years now. It's not growing. It's not getting any better. They use blood and cursing here and there as a crutch to get their angles over. And guess what? Placating to the lowest common denominator of your audience is not going to get you anywhere. So we could come up with more conspiracy theories as to why The Rock is ruining the road to WrestleMania. I heard a show over the weekend. It was like, man, The Rock is really ruining the road to WrestleMania. It's, oh, he's doing all these great promos on Instagram and everybody else is looked at as an afterthought. Okay, Jey Uso is an afterthought. Drew McIntyre is an afterthought. Seth Rollins is an afterthought. Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, oh, nobody cares about that match either, right? It's just The Rock. Oh, Roman's now taking a back seat to The Rock. By the way, Roman and Cody are about to have a face-off with each other tomorrow night in Milwaukee. And Roman, again, is going to show everybody why there's levels to this shit. But again, we need to keep the focus on The Rock, the guy who decided to take a step back, or as every podcaster these days owes David Schwimmer and the writers from Friends money, using that also famous word, pivot. The Rock listened to you. The Rock listened to you. And we got to come up with stories now as to why he's being a hindrance to the current roster. And, oh, The Rock's making everything about himself and not looking out for the benefit of the roster. Give me a break, man. The guy's delivering on business. He's putting more asses in seats. And it's entertaining. I don't know what we're missing here. So that's my thing. Like, and I'm not telling you if you're like, let's say for example, let's say you like you're not a fan of The Rock, or you're not a fan of Dwayne Johnson. More power to you. I'm not gonna come here and judge you for you. I'm not gonna come here and judge you if you are not a fan of The Rock personally, or never been a fan of the character. That's your prerogative. But if you're one of these people that were clamoring for The Rock to come back during the fall and saying that, man, I've been waiting for Rock and Roman for all these years. Now he's back. Oh, you're upset that for one second Roman was getting in the way of Cody Rhodes finishing his story. Now Rock is too dominant and being presented too strong. And everybody else is taking a backseat to The Rock. The Rock is, yeah, in a way, The Rock is the centerfold piece. He is the X factor of this year's WrestleMania. He is the headline attraction. It's 40 years of the company. You have one of the guys who probably, from an entertaining standpoint, is on the Mount Rushmore of the business as one of the key attractions for this year's show. So, yeah, he's going to be put to a higher pedestal. But guess what? The Rock can walk and talk. Rock could put his money where his mouth, you know, he can write checks that is, you know, whatever that expression is. You know what I'm trying to say here, you know what I mean? Like, he backs up what he says. He's a man of his conviction. He delivers. So, Yeah. Okay, we're going to get the report from Meltzer and SC Scoop to the locker room were feeling bad or the fact that they can't curse and that there's double standards being placed on what's going on with The Rock and everything heading towards WrestleMania. Just admit that you don't like the guy and you're just trying to find reason to bitch. Just to bitch. Can you do me that favor? That's what I got to say about that. I take a swig of water really quick. Ah, yeah, so good. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the monologue. I don't have nothing else to add here. But when we come back, we'll get to what happened this week in WWE. Talk a little bit more about The Rock as we got to recap what happened with The Rock concert. And I'll get into that. We'll get into Cody Rhodes' response on Raw this past Monday night. What can we expect from this face-off with Roman and Cody? More matches were announced this week for WrestleMania. So we'll get into that. And a lot more stuff in what happened this week in WWE right here on the Hoots Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, on the Hoots Podcast, episode 405. Please, if you're watching this live on YouTube or anywhere, make sure to hit that like button and share the show with your friends. I appreciate the support for the podcast each and every single week. Let's talk a little bit about what happened this week in WWE. We'll start off, as we usually do, on SmackDown. This past Friday night, SmackDown was in Memphis, Tennessee, and we kicked things off with the Rock concert. Now, you just heard me for the first part of the show kind of talk about the silliness of the double standard controversy that's going on with The Rock, and now that The Rock is being a hindrance to the build to WrestleMania. This is the one. There's two things about WrestleMania season for me personally as a content creator and somebody who grew up as a fan of this industry. There's two things that I can't stand. Two, trying to force-feed triple threat matches to placate social media crybabies. And second is the overemphasis on what's a good build and what's not a good build when we also forget the fact that this is a subjective form of entertainment. And two, I think there's more people who try to convince themselves that there's not a build and they're not actually paying attention to the show. Like this week, oh man, I wish they could have done more for Jimmy and Jey Uso. Well, let's run that down a little bit. Jimmy Uso cost his brother the Universal Championship at SummerSlam. Jimmy Uso also cost Jey the tag titles when he was champions with Cody. He cost Jey the match with Gunther, and he also cost Jey the grudge match with Drew McIntyre. So I'm with my little calculation there, that's almost like 7 months of programming, let alone their entire careers with each other. And with, given the fact that last year they were in the main event of last year's WrestleMania. And I sit there and I see these tweets and I hear this stuff on these shows. Oh, man, Jey and Jimmy had next to no build for this WrestleMania. It's on site. This guy's been trying to ruin the freaking guy's career. They're brothers. Do we need some fucking Bill Gates? Like, oh man. Some like Scientology shit here. Like, a lot of people like tie themselves in mental knots of what's a build and what's not a build. Watch the damn show. The build is right in front of you. It'll be easier to process professional wrestling when you're not trying to freaking fantasy book it the entire time. Or trying to be the smartest person in the room. It's not that hard. So, we'll go back to the Rock concert. They had some band members from the War and Treaty, which are a good group. I enjoy listening to their stuff. I am into country music. So they have that. That's cool. They do a little Memphis-style beat. And I wrote, this is the fun thing about doing transcripts, that I got the actual lyrics, if you will, to this rock concert. So let's, by the way, he is like here, he's going to get into the song, right? And then some chick in the crowd's like, "I love you, Rock." And he's like, "I love you too, honey. Thank you for saying that. You sound like somebody the Rock could love. Drunk and horny." That line popped me. So here we go. Here's the full lyrics and breakdown of this rock concert here. I wrote this down. You can check this out also on prowrestlingtranscriptions.com if you like. The Rock is going to come lay the smack down your blonde Cody ass and your best friend the clown. I'm going to whoop that ass and break your back, or maybe I'll just whoop you with my fanny pack. There's going to be so much drama, you'll truly have no choice but to cry to your mama. You know what the Rock is talking about, Mama Rhodes, Cody Rhodes' mama. Rock is a mama's boy. Do we have any mama's boys out there? Then he goes here. Well, here's a little story about how Cody was born. I think he said this about John Cena too, but this is historically accurate, as all the Rock stories are historically accurate. Dusty's youngest son was just what he feared. He tried to raise him right, but he turned out too weird. That's when Dusty said, with total frustration, that drugs and cheap condoms was a bad combination. I know it keeps Cody awake to know he wasn't playing and he was a mistake. And then he goes, transitions to Seth Rollins. And he's like, "Hey, Cody, you know, you got a tag team partner, that living embodiment of cringe, Seth Rollins. Your cackling and dancing are all that you do. No wonder why your wife is more popular than you. You're so damn desperate to make them all cheer, but The Rock is gonna make that title disappear. You're simply an embarrassment, son." This line here is what really popped me from the concert, because I'm a sports fan, and this is a topic that they were talking about nonstop on First Take. So this part here, he's like, "You're simply an embarrassment, son, just like John Morant when he's waving a gun." That was tremendous. "Well, the Rock is getting away with stuff that we can't on the roster. Get on the Rock's level, then we could talk. How about that?" Let's continue on here. Then he gets into the Cody crybabies. I'll do this here. "You're also entitled, obnoxious, and brash. Some of you have sex, but you have to pay cash. Your hero's going to bleed, and he needs some stitches. So whine about that, you crybaby bitches. There are some lines you just don't cross." Check this out here. "And you walk and kiss the ass of the final boss." Hey, man. The guy is one of one. I'll just say that, man. He is one of one. There's an article that was put out this past week on New York Post. Oh, man. Here's the thing. I was not going to put this aside, because I'm looking at this article, and to show you how ridiculous even high-level like outlets are, is just beyond me. So New York Post put out an article this past week about WWE and free agency. And the title reads, "WWE needs to look in the mirror at their AEW star-studded free agency haul." I'll expand more on this and what the hell is wrong with AEW, but just looking at this article right now by Joseph Szczuski, from the New York Post, this guy is definitely in the running for the clown of the week this week. Good God. You ever heard about reading the room, pal? What are we doing here? I'm going to read that New York Post article verbatim and what the hell is wrong with AEW. So stick with us. It's going to be pretty funny. That will replace the excrement impression this week since they decided to do Rampage live after Dynamite last night. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's go back here to some WWE stuff. Some other quick takeaways from SmackDown. I have no issue with the idea of doing the six-pack ladder match for the tag titles. That's cool. That's going to be a car crash. That's going to be a fun match. At least on the SmackDown side, it's kind of weird, the little setup they're doing. I guess to give everybody a fair chance on the SmackDown tag division, they decided to go with their side of the qualifiers and making that as a separate tournament, I guess, which I didn't know you could do that. But on SmackDown, they're having qualifying matches. So, you know, Legado del Fantasma defeated the LWO, right? And then the other qualifying match was New Cash Republic, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne beating Pretty Deadly. And now for SmackDown tomorrow night in Milwaukee, they got the Street Profits against AOP and A-Town Down Under against the Goof Brothers. So whoever wins those two matches, they'll fight in a qualifier, and then Legado and New Cash Republic will fight each other in a qualifier as well. So it's a little convoluted, at least on the SmackDown side. I get that you want to give everybody a fair chance to possibly to perform at WrestleMania, but we'll have to see how that works. But as we continue on here, I got to say, man, Randy Orton and Grayson Waller, that was a fun match. I really enjoyed that. They're finding different ways to get Austin Theory into these RKOs. And, you know, Logan and Logan has kind of like a little, I wouldn't say like a faction, but Logan has this like working relationship with Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. And they got upset over the fact of what happened with, you know, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And they're like, we need to focus back on us as a tag team. And, you know, they've been kind of been like the hitting dummies for RKO and Kevin Owens. They've been the crash test dummies, if you will. And, you know, they're now getting into this qualifying match. I'm pretty sure those guys will win. If I had my guess out of those two qualifiers on SmackDown, I think that the New Cash Republic and the You know what? I think the New Cash Republic and A-Town Down Under will be the final two teams for SmackDown who qualify for the six-pack challenge. That's my guess. I could be wrong, but we'll have to see how it plays out. Let's see here. Did I miss anything? Let's see. What's up, Theo, man? Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, man, he's a trip. Oh, man. Love you, too, Theo. Love you, too. Did I miss anything else from SmackDown real quick? Oh, yes. LA Knight. LA Knight and AJ Styles was confirmed for WrestleMania. Originally, I thought LA Knight was going to fight Logan Paul for the U.S. Championship. I thought that was going to be the case. But they made it, everybody's favorite word now, podcasting, pivot, right? So they decided to go with Randy Orton against Logan Paul and Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship. That's a triple threat match that actually has some purpose and meaning to it. Now we have LA Knight against AJ Styles, and these two are basically at each other's necks because they've been one way or another trying to topple over each other as they're climbing up the ranks towards becoming a number one contender for the Undisputed Universal Championship. So this is kind of your classic WrestleMania season grudge match where either somebody costs somebody the victory in the Royal Rumble, or in this case, AJ Styles costs LA Knight a chance to fight for the world championship in the Elimination Chamber. Now it's on site. Now we have a gratitude. Now we have a match that, you know, maybe if you look at it on paper, given everything else that's already being advertised for this WrestleMania, you could think that maybe this match would be flying under the radar. Maybe you wouldn't care about it. But I'm interested in it. You know, it's cool for LA Knight. This is that this is his first particular WrestleMania match, and it being AJ Styles. Obviously, AJ Styles can have a good match with a broom. You know, AJ Styles could have a 5-star match with Stevie Wonder if he wanted to. But I'm curious to see how that goes. You know, I think it's cool where you have like these little classic mid-card grudge matches. And this one's going to be, maybe it'll be a 11 or 13 minute match, depending on which night this match is on WrestleMania. But I think it's a cool thing for LA Knight that he's having this opportunity to fight somebody like AJ Styles as his first WrestleMania opponent. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Logan Paul will walk out of WrestleMania still the United States champion or not? Because for me, what this smells like, it smells like Logan retaining and Kevin Owens turning heel on Randy Orton. Maybe it's just me, but that's the sense I'm getting from this. You know, Randy almost hit Kevin with the RKO during that melee, that afterbirth brawl on SmackDown. When I think about it now, it could be a scenario where maybe tomorrow night, Kevin Owens almost hits Randy with a stunner when they're trying to go after Logan Paul, right? You know, so you're getting mind games here and there, but Logan is like the weasel. He's slithering out of the way. He's doing everything to bob and weave, you know what I mean? Like, I have a feeling that Logan Paul will retain, but there's also a good chance that either Randy or Kevin turn on each other after the match. And I've been wanting to have these two have like a singles feud with each other for a long time. It's never happened before. And I do think it's overdue for Kevin Owens to go back to being a bad guy. But that's just me. Let's see. We got here. AJ is as good or better than Shawn Michaels. Yes, I definitely agree with that. I agree with that for sure. Did I miss anything else? Oh, Santos Escobar will be taking on Rey Mysterio tomorrow night on SmackDown. And then also, I forgot to mention Bayley and Dakota Kai. I would say that I've loved this build-up for Bayley and Dakota. Not my bad, Bayley and Io Sky. I've enjoyed it. It's been different layers here and there, but I got to give props to Dakota Kai. You know, I think she's really been carrying the load for Damage Control, obviously, since they turned her back on Bayley, especially on promos and stuff like that. But, you know, for her first match, coming back from that ACL surgery, I thought she carried herself pretty well. And Bayley and Dakota, you know, that was a pretty solid match. Bayley won via disqualification, but, you know, we had a lot of run-ins. We had a lot of things going on. Naomi came into the scenario. Naomi's fighting Io Sky tomorrow night on SmackDown. That's going to be a pretty good match. But, you know, the numbers game is on Damage Control's side. So can Bianca Belair get over her past feelings and stop being bitter towards Bayley and help her out? Who knows? Like, you could have Naomi, Bianca, and Jade Cargill try to even the odds against Damage Control, and maybe you could do something like that. But that's pretty much it for my thoughts from SmackDown this week. Let's talk a little bit about Monday Night Raw. Raw this past Monday was in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just give me one second. Let me take this hat off really quick. I'll put the Rican hat back on in a couple of minutes. I just need a break from it. It feels a little different when I have the headphones on. So let's talk a little bit about Raw. from Raleigh. Looking at the screen, I definitely know I need a haircut. Oh, man, my hair grows back pretty fast. Let's see here. Okay, I got it right here. So, show kicked off with Jay and Jimmy. And Jay's like, you know, despite everything that's gone on, like, I miss you. Come back to me. Get back to your senses. And Jimmy's like, I've been here for you the entire time. And he's like, you know, guess what? Little bro goes off to do his own thing. And guess what? He ends up becoming one of the biggest stars on the roster. He's become the top merchandise seller. And then at the same time, he became a tag team champion without Jimmy. And ended up being a tag team champion with Cody Rhodes of all people. And, you know, the history with Cody and the Bloodline. So Jimmy's like, you know what? Who left who here? How am I the bad guy? I was looking out for you. I'm your big brother. And, you know, everything big that's happened to you, it's because of me. And it's kind of like the reverse psychology thing because, you know, this is also the same guy that's cost Jay 3 different championships in almost a calendar year. You know? So, I won't go out fully say that Jimmy's a hypocrite. But, you know, that's the thing. When you have heels, they can do the whole reverse psychology thing. And I like the promo. Jay is like, no, the biggest moment of my career is fighting you at WrestleMania when I knock the yeet out your ass. And then they get into the brawl. Cody comes out, suit and all, nice $1,000 dress shoes, drops Solo in his dusty ass with the Cody cutter. I'm not calling Solo dusty, but, like, that dude comes out with that same black hoodie all the time, man. I hope that's not the only black hoodie that he owns. But, yeah, Solo's been catching a lot of beats so far during this WrestleMania season. So that was that. And then we had, another good string of matches on the shows. DIY and the Creed Brothers, phenomenal match. DIY win, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are now going to be able to perform on their first WrestleMania. Both guys have big histories in Philadelphia. Obviously, Johnny Gargano, Andrade from NXT TakeOver Philly, if you guys remember that. Candice LeRae, Johnny's wife, is continuing to enter herself in the realm of player haters of 2024. She's becoming a menace every week. It's wild, man. what else here from Raw really quick that we can talk about? Oh, let's talk about this. Cody and Paul Heyman. And we'll sprinkle in a little bit about this promo tomorrow night on SmackDown. So Cody did indeed respond to the Rock concert, you know, and this is the whole thing that you heard on all the shows and all on social media this week. Oh, Cody, you better bring an edge. Oh, you can't be passive aggressive. Like, the guy's cooking you. The guy is talking smack about your mother and stuff like that and calling you a mistake. Like, you need to bring that. You need to bring out that bad side of you, right? You got to bring out the edge out of you. And I think for the most part, in Cody Rhodes' way, he brought the edge out. And, yeah, there was a bitch line there. He said that Rock carries himself with little dick syndrome. That was a funny line. LDS, I thought that was fine. And, you know, I think they said Rock is going to be on the Raw in Brooklyn, which is the go-home show before WrestleMania for Raw. That Brooklyn crowd's gonna chant LDS. I already know it. if the crowd in Dallas is chanting diarrhea at the Rock after that whole controversy towards Seth Rollins, sidebar. May I? Can I have a sidebar here? I try my best not to make things personal with performers and stuff like that. I'm not that type of content creator, and I just don't roll like that. However, and this sucks for me to say this because I am a fan of Busted Open, and I've been a Nation member since day one, since I started watching and listening to their shows and their content. But LaGreca, man, you're throwing a lot of arrows at Seth Rollins that you would not throw at his face in person. And I know you had Becky Lynch on the show today as I'm recording this on a Thursday, but you got to be better than that, man. I get it. Maybe you don't like the Joker aspect of his character and him being flamboyant and stuff like that, but it's not just that. It's been going on for months now, almost a year of you taking pot shots at him. And there's one thing to say, you don't like a character, but tone does matter, and inflection does matter. And I'll tell you what, man, you throw a lot of arrows at Seth Rollins' direction that you would not say to his face if he was a guest on Busted Open. And I'm really big on keeping the same energy. You're not doing that, man. You're just not. So I don't think that's cool. And I get it. Some people don't like the fact that Seth is all zany and, you know, flamboyant and not being serious all the time. But put some respect on the man's name, especially for a guy literally giving his back out. Pause, you know, the entire year with a bad back, carrying the red brand alongside Cody before the injury that he had against in the Jinder Mahal match. Put respect on the guy's name, man. And then trying to sneak in a diss towards Seth Rollins while you have his wife on your show. I don't think that's cool, man. You know, I could put to the side the whole Cody crybaby thing and you doing things for bits and stuff like that. And I'm not going to come here and say that you're a disingenuous person because that's not true. And you work very hard at what you do. And I'm a fan of Dave LaGreca. But the little sneak dissing and subtle personal shots towards Seth Rollins is not cool. It's just not. I don't appreciate that. And I'm not even saying that as a Seth Rollins mark. I'm just saying that somebody who does this for a living, like, we can't be doing that. My shots, when I take shots towards, like, Tony Khan or Chris Jericho, for that matter, I mean them, and they're justifiably so. And I would say them to their face if I had an interview with them. I don't think you would do the same with Seth Rollins, though, Dave. I really don't. So it's okay to not like the character and stuff like that, but you being masquerading the whole Cody crybaby thing, I think you're sending more personal shots at Seth Rollins because deep in your heart, you may have a feeling that Seth is going to turn on Cody and you're just getting ready to accept that reality and it's going to hit you bad when it happens in Philadelphia. So that's that. So, you know, a couple lines here from Cody where he's talking about how The Rock basically has been crying behind the scenes. You know, the fans start chanting something else. You go around to your buddies at the TKO board. Hey, man, this could be some good PR for us, right? Like some damage control. And guess what? You listen to enablers in the TKO board. And Cody's like, guess what? You know, you have a lot of great accolades attached to yourself, but you're a terrible salesman, a carny succubus. For those who don't know what that means, you're a whiny bitch. I know you've been convinced otherwise, but please don't think for 2 seconds, Rock, that this locker room needs you more than you need it. That's the rule of the business. No one's bigger than it. Another one. I bring up my mother in the interview, so it's fair game for you to do so, okay? I know your mom. Here's what I'll tell you about Rock's mom. She's a wonderful lady. Salt of the earth. One time she helped me chop Kevin Owens in the dark match. I have nothing but respect for your mom. Respect you should echo back over to my own. Here's the thing. You're talking about whipping me, a bloody weight belt, handing it to my mother. And normally somebody as powerful as you, she would tremble. She would cower. You don't know my mom. I was more scared than she was. My mom's not scared of anything. And this is the same lady who hopped off a chair at a Willie Nelson concert and beat up an undercover cop, okay? She's not afraid of you, Rock. And then from there, he goes here. This is one of my favorite lines from the promo from Cody this week that really stood out to me. He says here, I have been asked, April 6th, the biggest tag team match of all time, myself, my tag team partner, Seth Rollins, World Heavyweight Champion, somebody you should respect very much because he helps carry your company, Rock, against you and the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. How will I get past that? What will April 7th look like? Will it be a fair fight? And I can tell you honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be Bloodline rules or not. Hell, I don't know if I'm going to finish the story. But Dwayne, what do you know? How can you be so sure of your own self, right? Because you keep forgetting. You haven't been in the ring in years, in real-time action. And April 6th, the bell is going to ring. And what happens, Rock, when the bell rings, right? Are you going to bring the great one? Are you going to be the hero that I had growing up? Are you going to have all that big Dwayne energy? Or are you just going to be LSD, Little Dick Syndrome? Here's the part here. You have referred to yourself as the final boss. Kudos to Brian Gewirtz for that nickname. Perhaps you are the actual, literal final boss. Maybe I'm too naive to see that. But at WrestleMania, I don't think you're going to be the final boss. At WrestleMania, I think you're just going to be Roman's side chick. Good stuff there. Very good stuff there. Dan Heyman comes out. Trump throws out this proposition that, hey, guess what? There could be a scenario where you and Roman can have your face-to-face confrontation in person, but you have to show up by yourself. The tribal chief, Paul Heyman says, like, Roman Reigns is a tribal chief of his word. So can you actually trust the tribal chief? Is this where Tama Tonga comes out and attacks Cody from behind? Do they sign Jacob Fatu last minute out of nowhere? Is it all a ruse, right? Solo comes out with another black hoodie and then Samoa Spike. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or, like, what's going to happen? Well, here's my thing. Roman Reigns is going to be on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, but during the afternoon, right? And I'm pretty sure he's going to be very petty and very Roman-like and very disingenuous towards Cody Rhodes and the Cody Crybabies. And then we get into the confrontation on SmackDown, and we're going to get some more personal shots of Roman rubbing it in Cody's face that he beat him last year. And, again, we'll have to see how Cody carries himself in this exchange, because guess what? Roman cooked Cody during the build towards their match in last year's WrestleMania. And I expect no difference tomorrow night in Milwaukee. This is the opportunity for Cody to one-up Roman this time on the microphone. But guess what? You got to have two eyes in the back of your head here. On surface, no, you cannot trust Roman Reigns and the Bloodline as far as giving their word. But here's the thing. Does Jey Uso come out? Does Seth Rollins come out when Cody told him on Raw that he's got this by himself? That's the thing. If there's any validity to the whole Seth Rollins is going to turn on Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania thing, Seth Rollins will be at SmackDown tomorrow. If he's not there, I don't think it's going to happen. It'll be a scenario where Drew just absolutely destroys Seth Rollins' body and he's unable to help Cody during a Bloodline rules match. So I think for me, as I look at the scenario, we're just going to get some petty stuff. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Roman said, why don't you go back to your Outlaw Mud show on the other network? I wouldn't be surprised if Roman said that, to be honest with you. I look at this whole scenario in this program right now, and a lot of people are saying, oh man, Roman's taking the back seat to Cody. Roman's taking the back seat on the road to this WrestleMania. Roman Reigns will deliver tomorrow, just like he always does. So that promo can be very petty, and I'm here for it. Now, does that start the show? Or does that end the show? Now, that's the thing, because I don't know who to trust. Maybe Cody pulls a rug over people's heads, and maybe, like, like I said, maybe Seth Rollins does show up. Maybe we just have a brawl with everybody. I got no idea. But I think a big, I would say probably like a big loophole within everything that's going on those two nights of WrestleMania will be revealed. And it's like the cards will be out there for you to assume what's going to happen. I think there's going to be a key moment that happens during that segment tomorrow that will give you a clear indication of where things are going for WrestleMania. A couple other things I wanted to mention really quick. I like the Gunther and Sammy contract signing. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it should be Chad Gable. Well, it's not Chad Gable. And Gunther and Sammy are going to tear the house down. I thought that was cool. And I want to give props to Becky and Nia for the last woman standing match. And I know I've been very critical on Nia Jax. I'm not alone with that sentiment, but we also have to give her credit where credit is due. She's been bringing the good in the ring in these matches so far, and she deserves a lot of credit. So that's that. Before I get to NXT and we wrap up this segment, I want to do one excrement style impression here, because we won't get to do it on What the Hell's Wrong with AEW this week. So I wanted to do it with a WrestleMania twist to it. So here you go. By the way, I'm hoping in some way that maybe that I could do some bonus content for you guys. Maybe like record some like separate podcasts. Maybe do an interview here or there. If there's anybody that you'd like to see make a special appearance on this podcast, let me know. I'm open to suggestions. Let's continue on here, shall we? All right, here we go. I got the matches here. So right now, as I'm looking at the announced and confirmed matches so far, we have 10 matches. I think there's a report coming out from WrestleVotes that there's the possibility to have 14 total matches, which means 7 for each night, which is not a bad thing. I mean, there's a couple other ones you could think off the top of your head that could possibly be, you know, what's going to happen with the women's tag team titles. You know, that could be Bianca and Naomi against the Kabuki Warriors. It could be, you know, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against the Final Testament, a six-man tag. That's one there to pick out. Who knows? Maybe we have I'm trying to think of other matches. Oh, yeah, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. There's other matches to be announced for this WrestleMania, and I think we'll get to it when the time is right. But let me do my excrement-style impression, if you will, and let's take a look at the matches, shall we? Here we go. Got you live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's the 40th installment of WrestleMania 40. Here's your matches. First, for the WWE Women's Championship, it's Io Sky taking on Bayley. From there, for the Women's World Championship, it's the night. Let me restart that. Got you live from the Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's the 40th installment of the grandest stage of them all, known as WrestleMania. Here's your matches. First, for the Women's WWE Women's Champion, we have Io Sky taking on Bayley. From there, for the Women's World Championship, it's Rhea Ripley against Becky Lynch. Just announced on Monday Night Raw for the WWE Intercontinental Championship, it's the Ring General Gunther taking on Sami Zayn. From there, it's the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team titles. It's the Judgment Day's Finn Balor, Damian Priest taking on DIY, the Austin Truth, New Day, and two teams to be determined. From there, we have LA Knight taking on AJ Styles in the Grudge match. Jey Uso takes on Jimmy Uso in the Battle of Brothers. For next, for the triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship, it's Logan Paul taking on the Viper, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. Then for the big time matches announced, first, the Bloodline Tag Team match. The Bloodline, the Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Freakin' Rollins. If Rhodes and Roz retain. All members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the Undisputed Universal Championship match on Night 2. If Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on Night 2 will be held under Bloodline rules. There we go to Night 2. First, for the World Heavyweight Championship, it's Seth friggin' Rollins against Drew McIntyre. Then, main event for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, it's Roman Reigns, the Trial Chief, taking on the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. More matches being announced. Make sure to follow Triple H at Twitter at Triple H and get all your tickets right now at WWE.com. That repeats WWE.com/tickets. Yeet. Oh, man. So I got those out of the way. Let's take a look here for NXT. I want to talk about this really quick because they got a PLE coming up that WrestleMania weekend as well. It's called Stand and Deliver, and there's already matches announced. So really, I'm just going to be really brief with this. Here are the confirmed matches so far for Stand and Deliver. Live Valkyrie will put her NXT Women's Championship belt line against Roxanne Perez. That's going to be a rematch from the Vengeance Day show. And then, let's see. Oh, Ilya Dragunov against Tony D'Angelo for the NXT Championship. The Wolf Dogs, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker put their tag team titles on the line against the winner of this qualifying triple threat match between LWO, Axiom, Nate DeFraser, and the Good Brothers. I think the OC or Axiom and Nate DeFraser will win that match. And then the main event, Trick Williams against Carmelo Hayes. By the way, if you guys haven't seen NXT this week, go check out Axiom and Nate DeFraser against the No Quarter Catch Crew. Very, very good match. I really enjoyed that a lot. And also check out Trick Williams against Noah Dar. That was a fun match too. So some good things cooking up, if you will, as the kids say. Cook, cook, cook. So on that note, that is what happened this week in WWE. If you guys have any thoughts, good, bad, and different, things that stood out to you, things that didn't, love to hear your feedback from you guys. By the way, let's also give a birthday shout-out to the good brother, Patrick Fritz. Hope you enjoy your day, buddy. I appreciate the love and support, as always, not only for the podcast, but the brotherhood as a whole. But I appreciate you, my man. With that being said, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for another restaurant quality edition of something that we like to call here on the Hoots Podcast. What the hell is wrong with AEW? Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Let's start this bad boy off in a 3, 2, 1.
Your meat, beat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat, beat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat, beat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat, beat, beat, your meat.
I'm telling you, my time is right now. Right this minute, 2022. We're living it. My time is now. My time is right. God damn now.
Man, what intensity. The quality of the product and the quality of the shows is at an all-time high right now. But I do know that it's a real war between AEW and WWE.
I'm still cashing fat checks, and I am still banging the hottest bitch in this entire place.
It's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of
fuck
here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Oh, man. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. A new restaurant quality edition of What the Hell's Wrong with AEW, man. I'll tell you, I watched majority of Dynamite. I did not watch the Hook Chris Jericho match because This out of my own discretion. I don't watch what I don't want to watch, and Chris Jericho has nothing of interest for me that I want to see. And it's not a knock towards Hook, because actually, contrary to popular belief when it comes to this segment, there are things in AEW that I do like, and one of them has to be Hook, and I'm a big fan of Hook. But all this stuff of Chris Jericho trying to put his wisdom, impose his wisdom into Hook, and it's the same thing with all these Jericho feuds in AEW. They go absolutely nowhere, and nobody benefits from it. So I just didn't care, and I didn't watch the match. So that was that. Before I get into the shows and the Mercedes Moné hyperbole train that we had to sit through this week, by the way, I'm going to say it again. That theme song is ass. That song is freaking terrible on all levels. It's almost bad as the Cubs victory song, but that's neither here nor there. Sorry, Sam. Anyways, I promise you guys to give you my thoughts on this whole New York Post article. In some ways, it was just a way to make AEW look good and make WWE bad, which is kind of the case, because over these past couple years, you get nothing but praise from AEW for the New York Post. So obviously they have an agenda and a working relationship, I guess, between Tony Khan and this writer, Joseph Suzuki here. I'm going to put this so you guys can read this with me, and we can do this as a family. Let's take a look at this nonsense. So here we go. WWE needs to look in the mirror at their AEW star-studded free agency haul. Let me read this article verbatim, because this is just peak of what the hell is wrong with AEW here. No sense of awareness and need to use the media to pump up narratives for a company that has no self-awareness whatsoever. So let's take a look at this, shall we? AEW was the clear winner in pro wrestling free agency, and WWE shouldn't take that lightly. Even with the company working its way out of a downturn, AEW president Tony Khan was able to bring in three of Will Ospreay. Let me rephrase that. AEW was the clear winner in pro wrestling free agency, and WWE shouldn't take it lightly. Even with the company working its way out of a downturn, AEW president Tony Khan was able to bring in the big three of Will Ospreay, Kazuchika Okada, and Mercedes Moné. These are three of the very best wrestlers in the world. In addition to Andy's successive revolution, it seemed to have injected some new energy to AEW locker room, like a pro team adding stars at a trade deadline. Ospreay noted during his promo on Dynamite the AEW rally cry of restore the feeling as AEW looks to reinvigorate the energy and interest around the promotion. I am the feeling, Ospreay said. While WWE is hot as ever, it doesn't need any of these three at the moment. I'm going to highlight this because this guy already gives out the fact that he has an agenda here. And okay, I'll put this to the side here. So you see this, right? While WWE is as hot as ever and doesn't need any of those three at the moment, the fact that none of them chose to come to the industry leader should at least give Triple H and company some pause. Okay, Joseph Suzuki, Sazuki, whatever the fuck you pronounce your last name. Riddle me this, cowboy. So, yeah, Tony Khan threw a bunch of money that could have went to the Jacksonville Jaguars in Fulham to pick up free agents for talent that are not going to ever move the needle for that promotion. But Triple H and company needs to take pause for the fact that they didn't get Will Ospreay and Okada, and Mercedes Moné needed her experience at the WWE Rehab Center too. So they need a pause for that because they're going to the WWE Rehab Center. Great. I'm happy for them. Let's continue on with this nonsense. Because he says here, because at the worst, you want to keep talent away from your closest competitor. WWE's biggest signings have been wrestlers on their way out of AEW. Cody Rhodes, Jay Cargill, Shawn Spears, Brian Pillman Jr., and the fired CM Punk. Naomi being an exception to that. Let me take this off the screen share really quick, so you guys can see me here. Hi, everybody. Let's continue on here. If you listen to Ospreay and Monet talk about why they signed AEW, a few clear advantages appear to arise. Some of it is similar to what WCW had in the past. For starters, Khan always seems to go to the extra mile on the financial terms. No shit. And like WCW, AEW isn't reliant on downside guarantees. And you are getting that money for a much lighter schedule, as AEW takes on Wednesday and Saturday, while WWE's schedule is far less grueling than in the past. Top stars still have to make the weekly house show loots that really don't exist in AEW. AEW's reduced schedule means that talent can be with their families more, and can give international stars such as Ospreay the option to remain living in the UK with his girlfriend and their stepson. Ospreay said on the Talking Jericho podcast that the offers from AEW and WWE were night and day. Even the differences of what they were offering and what AEW was offering, AEW was way better, Ospreay said. The scheduling and everything about AEW was completely the right option for me. It was always you could go be a superstar in WWE and be famous, but it's not as good of a pay, and it's not kind of a schedule. It's not as kind of a schedule. I expect everyone there doing it, but it's not for me. It brings me to something Monet, who has mentioned going back to WWE, eventually brought up often last week. AEW affords her the chance to take her Revolution Gold Bowl. What she means is that when you sign with AEW, unlike WWE, you have much greater freedom to work with other companies. It means you work with New Japan and CMLL in Mexico or pop into GCW. Pop into GCW and independent promotions. For Ospreay and Okada, it allows them to keep a small tether to the promotion they left. Those relations are also allowed talents to get a taste of AEW and work with Khan before becoming free agents. AEW, this is the thing that gives Triple H and company pause. Listen to this line. AEW also runs a stadium show in the UK with All In. Great! Guess what? Hey, Joseph from the New York Post, guess what? WWE's also having SummerSlam in the Cleveland Browns Stadium and having WrestleMania where the Eagles play. Oh, now AEW has shows in stadiums. Now that gives them more incentive to be with that promotion now. Great! Let's continue on here, because this may be the dumbest article I've read all year. Here we go. You have a chance to do more than make a billion-dollar company in WWE Richard, but rather enrich the foundation of the profession across the different promotions to help maintain this fruitful landscape for other performers, all while shining a light on talent not on TV weekly in the U.S. WWE is slowly making strides in that arena, allowing Shinsuke Nakamura to work with the Great Muta during his retirement tour, and it was recently announced that Shayna Baszler would work with mentor Josh Barnett's Bloodsport show with GCW. It still had a way to build the cooperation with other promotions Khan has. The silver line for WWE is that it can be less reliant than AEW on free agency for talent, because its NXT and Performance Center system will allow it to keep building its new stars in-house. But opportunities to sign main event talent in their prime, such as Okada, Ospreay, and Monet, don't come around too often, and WWE is unable to land any of them. Yes, Okada's close relationship with the Young Bucks was a factor, but it all should bring a moment of reflection in WWE. And here we are. This is a spoiler alert. This guy is already winning the Clown of the Week, because this is the dumbest wrestling article I've read all year. And it's not even close. Check out this bullshit. Getting a WrestleMania moment may not have the same pull as it did in the past, and WWE may need to open its checkbook a little wider or offer different incentives, because unlike in the past, when they were the New York Yankee-like in free agency, WWE just might be the ones working from behind more and more cases. Oh, you gotta be shitting me, man. WWE's behind AEW now because they couldn't land freaking Ostrich, Okada, and Mercedes, look at me, Monet. Oh my God. WrestleMania is not an incentive, and now that they're going to be behind. Hey, Joseph, I wonder if you're going to type out the article on New York Post about the residual effects of when MJF eventually shows up in WWE, and you see more and more people start tuning out of Dynamite, and we go from 800,000 viewers a week to 700,000 viewers a week. What do you want me to say, guys? What do you want me to say? This guy is having his agenda out there in a nutshell. And this is why I do this segment. I don't do this segment to shit on AEW and wish for it to fail or anything like that. It's the hyperbole. This is why we do this segment. Because really, if I ask myself this question, right? What the hell's wrong with AEW? Well, on the premise on my end, I don't think there's a problem with AEW existing. I don't think there's a problem with AEW being a promotion that gives opportunities for other performers to do their thing. And three, again, I don't want it to fail. I want AEW to succeed. I've been to multiple AEW events. I think a lot of people mistake the premise of what this segment is. I'm not hoping and praying on the downfall of AEW. What pulls me away and keeps me less interested in AEW is the hyperbole, it's the rhetoric and the nonsense and bullshit like this article that I just read to you guys that's attached to this promotion when it's not justified and they haven't earned that type of cachet or benefit of the doubt and all of these mental gymnastics to make AEW look something that it's not. Okay. Oh, AEW couldn't get higher viewership because supposedly the people weren't tuning into Big Business because they weren't sure not that Mercedes Moné was going to pop up in Boston. Are we being serious now? Mercedes when they showed up in Boston is as obvious as Shohei Ohtani going to the freaking Los Angeles Dodgers. I saw that coming a mile away. Don't use that as an excuse. She's not a draw as all of you make her out to be. She's a good talent. Average at best at promos. This week, oh, we got an advertised appearance from Mercedes Moné. Hey, last short Strickland show. Okada is now the new Continental Crown Champion, beating Eddie Kingston like absolutely nothing. Okada is now a full part of the roster and not even a buff in. The guy's already a champion. And now we have the typical AEW format back on TV. We're going to shoot our load the entire first hour of the show. Then we'll kick off the second hour with Will Ospreay and Tony Schiavone in the ring. Like, this is like the third week in a row. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Will Ospreay! Bruh. I gotta play this video for you guys because this is hilarious. I saw this earlier today. I want to give a shout out to former guest of the PWE show, Alfred Cunwa, from the guy who works for Ford's. He does very good content and stuff like that. He does a little interpretation of Will Ospreay's promos. And this video is pretty funny. I wanted to play it for you guys. But I think the sentiment remains the same here. Like, this is ridiculous. Okay, stop screen share there. Let's add this here. Just give me 1 second. I'll play this for you guys. All right, I got it right here. So this is Alfred Cunwood from Forbes. This is Nasty. Give him a follow. Check this out. This is pretty funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Ospreay! Woo! Thank you, Tony! Take the piss off it, bruv! And turn it shit in a celebrator! Brian Danielson, the waiter, bruv! And it didn't bring it to Trinidad! Tiger Driver 91 with the lions and bears and elephants! Freddie Mercury, bruv! The didn't shit in a brilliant cootie to the big game, bruv! Manchester United, the back, bruv, in it. It most certainly is. Is it? Last night's promo, last night's promo with Will Ospreay was just, to put it this way, it was just out of this world. And put it this way, he's got so much charisma. He's so charisma-y. And I don't want to say he's better than The Rock, but he is times 20. And I know we're in March, but put it this way, it just has to be promo of the year. And nobody, nobody knows more than me when it comes to talking.
Oh God, that's great. Shout out to Alfred for the video there. That's tremendous. But again, I don't want this promotion to fail. There's stuff that I like and stuff I dislike on this program, but I call it a WWE rehab center because that's what it is in its fullest form. And you have performers who either in WWE or are enabled by dirt sheet writers and put them on pedestals that they don't belong on, like Swerve Strickland and Will Ospreay for that matter. And we have to play around and act like these guys are the second coming of WCW and this true challenger brand that's going to be scary down the road. And, hey, they better watch out. They better watch out. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Mercedes Moné is now at AEW. Oh, my God. It's Sheamus. Sheamus is in AEW. Still drawing the same viewers. No growth. No momentum. Just by the seat of our pants. Waiting for some new hot angle to come around. And here's the thing. Here's the sad part. I'm an MJF guy, right? Like, MJF is my favorite performer from AEW. MJF can come back right now and get into a feud to get his revenge on Adam Cole, the Undisputed Kingdom. Cool, fine, whatever. What's the best they're going to get out of that? Maybe 50 or 60,000 more viewers every week? There's a problem here, and we could continue to put a blind eye to it. I know they had a nice house in Toronto last night for Edge and Christian, and well-deserved. They have a rivalry each other and their hometown guys. I get it. But, yeah, you got the big three, and they're all drawing the same amount as every other free agent that's come to this promotion since this company became a thing. There's no needle movers. Your programming still has no identity. And three, there's no reason for me to watch week to week. So we can continue here and put a blind eye to it. Man, AEW's turned the corner. They're on a hot streak. Okay. Keep telling yourself that when they're still drawing the same viewership every week. Is what it is. Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson will be a fun match. I'm not a Bryan Danielson fan, so I don't have no emotional attachment to the match besides the fact knowing it's going to be a good wrestling match. Outside of that, I have no other purpose to watch it. The Samoa Joe Swerve Strickland promo after his match with the Butcher, I thought it was decent. Those guys look like they're probably going to fight each other at Dynasty. That should be a good match. No, I don't think Swerve is going to become the champion just yet. But that was fine. I told you I didn't watch the Chris Jericho hook match. That's not a Jericho guy anymore. I did watch the women's tag match with Dynamite. I liked a lot. It was Toni Storm and Mariah May. Against Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa. I thought that was a very good tag team match. Very, very good match. I liked it a lot, and those ladies brought the goods. Mariah May, man, you want to talk about good pickups and stuff like that from free agency? She's one of the better pickups in all of the business. Obviously, she's really, really hot. And she's damn good in the ring, too. She's been doing some really good stuff with her and Toni Storm. That's a good group that they got going on right now. And I like the women's tag match a lot. I thought that was really good. Okada and Kingston was decent. I kind of felt bad for Eddie that he was kind of just a placeholder as a champion for Okada to come in. But I get it. You want to get Okada to look as hot as possible. With momentum, for that matter, and having the Hardy Boys with their Vince McMahon mustaches, they're still trying to enable this group now. So it is what it is. The main event. I'll say this, man. The crowd really helped this match for me to not completely shit all over it. I will say, though, that if I see people whining and moaning about run-ins during this Roman Reigns Cody Rome match at WrestleMania, I'm gonna call bullshit and hypocrisy at all of you, because that stuff with Mother Wayne and Dino Douche and fucking Malcolm in the Middle, Nick Wayne, you know, running into the ring and that nonsense. And then guess what, everybody? You know what helped Adam Coleman become TNT champion again in AEW? Daniel Garcia and fucking Daddy Magic Matt Menard. Great. My favorite part of the I Quit match was the hockey brawl inside the bench area, the boards, because it is a hockey stadium that they were wrestling in last night. That spot popped me. I thought that was pretty cool. Look, man, Christian's been doing the best work of his career at AEW. I'll give credit where credit's due with that. They've been doing a lot of great stuff there. But all the stuff with Mother Wayne and Dino Douche and fucking Malcolm in the Middle, it's just there for me. I don't care. It doesn't resonate with me. It serves no purpose. And half of the time, it's a waste of time, to be honest with you. So I thought the main event was a convoluted much show. But that is AEW for you. And for that to be the way it sends off this first leg of this Edge and Christian rivalry in AEW, I wouldn't say it was bad, but I wouldn't say that I loved it either. So I'm kind of like in the middle with that, but all in all, I thought Dynamite was meh to me, but all in all, man, the product is just not hitting with me right now. It's just not. I want it to be good. I want it to be successful, but I'm not going to sit here and just drool over Dynamite because Tony Khan is a wrestling mark. I'm a wrestling mark too, but guess what? If you're going to call yourself All Elite Wrestling, you're going to have some elite standards attached to it. It is what it is. People could glaze over the guy and look for a job for him, but not me. I don't know. We'll pose a question to you all. Let me know. What the hell is wrong with AEW this week?
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
I want to give a shout out to everybody here on Twitter/X that have been watching this stream the entire time. I see you all. I appreciate the support. For those who are watching on YouTube, please do me a favor. Smash that like button and subscribe to our channel. That helps expand the reach of the show. I appreciate the support. Good brothers and good sisters. With that being said, before we get to our main event segment this week, we have one more thing to do here on the podcast that hoots, and we got an award that we give out each and every week here on the podcast. It's a segment that's affectionately known as the Klein of the Week. This one's going to be very interesting. It's going to tie into the Chicago Bears conversation here. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time for the Klein of the Week.
I'm not Klein.
Klein. Klein.
Klein.
Klein.
You're big.
Klein.
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 One more time for good
measure. I'm not Klein.
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 You're big.
Klein.
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 Oh, man. The Klein of the Week, man. This one is very easy for me, and it's not even close. It's not close. This guy is—he deserves the. Well, he's not only the clown of the week; he's the clown of the month so far. And here's the thing: this guy is doubled down on not only a bad take. And then here we go. He can't help himself and double down on shitty takes. And yes, I am talking about one Robert Griffin III. RG3, my friend, you indeed are the clown of the week. And why I say he's the clown of the week, I'm going to let him explain himself. So let's take a look at this. This is RG3 on why Caleb Williams should pull an Eli Manning on the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying this. This is RG3 saying this. Listen to this nonsense. And there's another clip after this one, too.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that. Eli Manning had power in that 2004 draft. And he let the Chargers know, don't draft me. I don't believe in the direction that your organization is going. And I don't want to play there. He refused to play for them, even threatened to sit out an entire season if they drafted him. And they still drafted him. And the look on his face when he's holding up the jersey said everything. So what happened? The Chargers traded him to the New York Giants for Phillip Rivers, also a 2004 third round pick, and then the first and fifth round picks in the 2005 NFL draft. What did Eli end up doing? He won two Super Bowls for the New York Giants. Had a great career. So, for Caleb Williams, don't get me wrong, guys. I thought Ryan Poles was having an amazing offseason up until this trade for Justin Fields. Because you trade Justin Fields so you can get some players back to help your team out this year. Because Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, the head coach for the Chicago Bears, they're in a lame duck season. They have to win this year or they're going to get fired. And don't get me wrong. Hey, handing the football off to DeAndre Swift, throwing the ball to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Those guys are phenomenal. This ain't anything about them. This is about Caleb Williams and what team out there gives him the best chance to be successful. Only he can deem that. Yes, I do think him going back to Washington, where he's from, he's a DC kid, went to Gonzaga College High School. Okay, I think that's the best spot for him. But he has to answer that question. And if he says, all right, I see everything that's been going on, and now I can make the decision and say, I don't think that the Chicago Bears are the best place for me or my family to accomplish all the goals that we want to accomplish, then he needs to let that be known. He does have power right now, and he should exercise it if he feels like Chicago is not where he should be.
Okay. That's the first part. Before I go into this next one, let's take a look at this other one here, because this one is absolutely ridiculous. Let's continue on here, because this guy can't help himself.
Pick, because
here we go. he goes from talk about that the that Caleb Williams should pull Eli Manning more or less on the Bears, and now he's saying this is what the Bears should do as far as his development. So let's play this one here. 1 second. Hold on. Should be working here. Here we go.
Draft Caleb Williams, number one overall pick, because Caleb Williams is the best quarterback in the draft. But what I think Caleb Williams should do is he should tell the Bears that he's not coming. Don't draft me. They go get Keenan Allen. They bring in Gerald Everett. They've got Cole Kmet. They bring in DeAndre Swift. They've surrounded Caleb Williams with great talent. But what they don't have right now is stability in the front office. To me, they need to extend Matt Eberflus, the head coach, because he needs at least 3 to 4 years to build and grow with Caleb Williams, build and grow with the locker room. But when you have a rookie quarterback and you're the Chicago Bears and you haven't had success developing a quarterback in over 100 years, you shouldn't do to Caleb Williams what you did to Justin Fields and also what you did to Mitchell Trubisky. Strapping them to a coach who's in a lame duck season and then firing that coach and making that guy now work with a new coach in his second or third season. So if the Bears believe in Matt Eberflus, they should extend him.
Oh, man. Those clips come from RG3's RG3 and the Ones podcast, so I'll get credit for the outlet there for the clips. But on behalf of every Chicago Bears fan out there, not only within the city but also across the world, please, in the words of Chris Jericho, we do us a favor and shut the hell up. I know that the city is not great when it comes to developing quarterbacks. We're not arguing that. But pulling an Eli Manning just so you could go to Washington, which is a real winner when it comes to quarterback development as well. Just say that you are a former Redskins bust. Admit to the fact that you just want Caleb Williams to be under Washington Commanders. Who are you fooling here? This is the stuff that's worthy of being a clown of the week, where we have a shitty take and then we double down on the fact that we have a shitty take because we can't admit what we really want to say. And that is worthy enough of being a winner of the clown of the week. Congratulations, RG3. You are officially a Nimrod. And on that note, we got one of something to do on the podcast this week, and it's called the Backports Q&A session. And we'll answer your questions in just a few seconds here on episode 405 of the Hoots Podcast. And it'll be right back. All right, guys, one more segment to do here on the podcast is Hoots this week. A very loaded edition of the podcast this week. But it's time to answer your questions in this week's edition of the Back Porch Q&A session. As always, if you want to participate in the Back Porch Q&A session, all you have to do is send me a question at x at the Hoots Podcast or thehootspodcast@gmail.com. Nothing is off limits, and you can ask anything that you want to know about me as well. But we got questions this week from the good brother Wayne. My good brother, Wade Wilson. Wade sent in a question this week. And we'll start off with him since he's a new participant here. Wade here said, by the way, you could follow Wayne at Twitter at Wade ILL Sun. So here's Wayne's question. Who is your favorite X-Men and why is it Storm? Hey, Storm's great, and good Waterfall, too. Wayne, I'm not going to lie about that. Storm is fantastic, but I am old school in a way, so I'm going to just stick with Logan and go with Wolverine. I am definitely a Wolverine guy, but that'd be my pick. But I've been a fan of the X-Men film franchise for a long time, and I really enjoyed those movies. So I appreciate you sending that question, brother. I really do. Let's see what we got here really quick. I got it right here. Just one second. We got We have the questions here for the good brother Chris Zaletta at XTeen Zaletta24X on Twitter. Throw up the X here really quick for Chris. Here's Chris's question this week. What up, Boos? Here's the questions for the Q&A this week. Reaction to Aaron Donald's retirement. I was surprised by it. I thought he was going to have a couple more years in him, but I guess, you know, you got to listen to your body, and I think this was the time for him to step away. It's kind of the same thing for Jason Kelsey and also Fletcher Cox, who recently retired as well. Excuse me. So we've been saying goodbye to a lot of dominant football players over the last month or so. And Aaron Donald is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer sometime soon. So congratulations to him on a great career. And the thing I look back on is the fact that the Bears were one pick away from drafting Aaron Donald when he first came out in the league. So it's a little bummer that we didn't get a chance to pick him up. But tremendous player and definitely a Hall of Famer for sure. Thoughts on the Justin Fields trade? I'm just glad that the saga's over and that we got some clarity of what's going on. I'm happy for him to go to Pittsburgh, and I think there's a good chance that he definitely will start sooner or later over Russell Wilson. And I think I think Pittsburgh is a good place for Justin, so I'm happy for him. I'm disappointed that he couldn't see this journey out with the Bears, but I think in some ways that Ryan Poles and the crew kind of cave into the pressure of the local media here. And I'm just going to be honest with that. I think if there was more faith and trust with Justin and giving him more time, I don't think they would have been in a rush to trade him. And that's that. So he's now at Pittsburgh. Now he can move on to Caleb Williams. And, you know, just with any big decision, you got to have your convictions and you better be right. So I'm not going to come here and wish failure on Caleb Williams. I want him to have a good run here, and hopefully he can be the answer that everybody's been looking for when it comes to the Bears and quarterbacks. But I was not in a rush to get rid of Justin, but knowing where I'm from and following this team and understanding the media contingent that we have here, we just have another quarterback who got ran out of the town. So that's my thoughts on that. Is J. Cole the best rapper currently? I like J. Cole, but I prefer Kendrick Lamar more, but that's me. I don't really listen to a lot of today's rap because it's just not good, to be honest with you. But if I had my pick, I would go with Kendrick Lamar. If Motor City Machine Guns deals are up at the end of March, do they re-sign with TNA or sign elsewhere? I think they will re-sign with TNA. I mean, they would have been in WWE by now a long time ago if that's what they wanted for themselves. Maybe there's a possibility that they would go to AEW, but I think they re-sign with TNA. That's my guess. When NXT moves to CW, would you have Logan Paul do a run in NXT? No, not necessarily, because I don't think Logan needs it. Is this something where maybe he could just have like a one-off episode where he has like a main event against a big name talent in NXT? I think that'd be cool. But as far as him being a weekly performer in NXT and needing him having an extended run there, I just don't see it being. I don't see that happening. But that's a good question. Next one. If Rusev was to return to WWE, would he benefit another run in NXT? That's a good one too. I mean, you have options. You know, we just saw Shawn Spears come back to the company, and he's doing some good stuff in NXT. Obviously, you got Baron Corbin having a resurgence down there. I don't see why not. I think Rusev could do some good stuff in NXT, actually. So that's really not a bad idea, actually, Chris. But for me, with Rusev, if he were to leave AEW, I would prefer to go to like New Japan or TNA. But that's just me. Since the start of NXT, who would you have in the NXT Hall of Fame? Gosh, that's a hard one. I'll go with Dusty just for the impact that he had for SCW and the transition into NXT. So I'll go with Dusty first. You know, obviously be remiss without mentioning Adam Cole and the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn of the world, Charlotte Flair, the Four Horsewomen, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, Johnny Gargano, obviously. There's a lot to choose from when it comes to NXT Hall of Fame potential inductions for NXT Hall of Fame, but that's way, way down the road to think about that. if it was up to you, who outside of New Japan would you put in the G1 this year? That's a good question. I would go with I'll go with Steve Macklin or Josh Alexander. I love to see those guys from Impact in a G1 this year. Does Melo and Trick continue after Stand and Deliver? I'm gonna say no. I think this is gonna be the one off here. It's possible that you could probably extend it out if they're not like the main event, or maybe you have like a smash finish or something like that. But I think this is the send off for Melo, where this has been bubbling for such a long while now, and that's like they're too big for they're too big for NXT, right? Like, you know that saying, the world's just too big for us. One of us has to go. I think that's the scenario that you're gonna have here with Trick and Melo. So I think this is a one-off, and this is honestly to help Trick go on to the next level. So I'm going to say that Trick puts away Melo, and Melo goes on to the main roster. Does Gunther retain at WrestleMania? Yes. Gunther will retain at WrestleMania. That is my prediction. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. All right, last question here. Chris says, thoughts on the upcoming Bray Wyatt documentary? I'm excited for it. It's going to be very sad. It's going to be very, very emotional. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. It comes out April 1st, starting off the week of WrestleMania. I'm excited to watch it when it comes out, but it's going to be narrated by The Undertaker. I just finished the Firefly Funhouse part of the showcase mode on WWE 2K24. And Bray Wyatt's a legend, man. Bray is an absolute legend, and he's going to be missed forever, man. So I'm excited. It's going to be very, very emotional to watch that. And it's going to be a nice send-off for his career and his life and stuff like that. And it's going to be cool, you know, and we'll have that moment down the road when he gets into the Hall of Fame and stuff like that. But Bray Wyatt's legacy within the WWE will live forever, and he'll be definitely missed. And that on that note, that's a perfect way to put a ribbon on the bow on this week's episode of the Hoots Podcast. But I want to thank Wade, the good brother Wade, and the good brother Chris Letta for sending questions this week. As always, if you want to send us questions, hit us up at Twitter at the Hoots Podcast or thehootspodcast@gmail.com. By the way, email me thehootspodcast@gmail.com if you want to advertise with the Hoots Podcast as well. And don't forget, the podcast comes to you free of charge anywhere you get your podcasts from. Please follow us on Spotify. If I ask you for anything else on this podcast, follow us on Spotify. It'll help expand and reach the show, and we need to help out Spotify as much as possible. So please do that. When I share the links on the Spotify links, when I post them out on social media, just follow the show. That's all I ask. I'm not charging you any money to be a subscriber or follow the show. It's not that hard. by the way, you can follow me on Twitter if you like at the Hoots Podcast. I'm on Instagram at Josh Lopez Music. Check out my transcript work in the result section of WrestlingHeadlights.com. And don't forget, folks, be the authentic product that is yourself. Remember, nobody dictates the pace of your life but yourself and the man upstairs. We are 16 days away from WrestleMania as I'm recording this on a Thursday night. And I love y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. This has been episode 405 of the Hoots Podcast. And coming up next week, We'll recap what happens on Raw from the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago with the return of CM Punk, which I'm very, very excited for. And we'll see what happens next on the road to WrestleMania. But for everybody, I'm Joshy. This has been episode 405 of the Hoots Podcast. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to y'all next week. Yay.
Bye-bye, bitch.